Hi, everyone. Welcome to the latest Dare Daniel mini episode. My name is Daniel Barnes. I am the film critic for the Sacramento News and Review. I write about craft beer for the Sacramento Bee. With me, as always, is my co-host, Quirky McDonald. Say hello.
Hello, everybody.
On this little bite-sized mini episode, we are going to do our usual preview of our next episode on Tuesday of the film The Circle. We're going to look back at our previous review of Shining Through. We're going to do some corrections. We have a lot of corrections of mistakes we have made in previous episodes.
We've been bad boys.
Quirky did a little extra credit this week. He watched the film 50 Shades of Black. And then we're going to read a few of your movie dares.
But first, we're going to say thank you to Sac City Brews Neighborhood Tap House in lovely Tahoe Park, Sacramento.
Yeah, thank you, Sac City Brews. They are absolutely fantastic. The beers are good. The food is even better.
Oh my God, this brunch is amazing.
Forget about it.
Locally sourced vegetables, too. That's wonderful for the Sacramento area.
Yeah, they get a lot. They get all their vegetables from local urban farms, which is really cool. And the food reflects it. It is absolutely delicious. Quirky, let's talk about our upcoming review.
Sure.
The internet.
I've heard of it.
Have you been on the internet? Do you know the internet? Have you seen the internet?
The information superhighway? I've checked it out.
Let me tell you a thing about this internet. It goes all the way to the top.
What?
I think there are people listening to us on the internet right now. All right, now that I'm in that proper frame of irrational paranoia, let's hear a preview of James Ponsoldt's The Circle.
Go to the clip.
How would you describe what the circle is to, say, your grandmother?
It's the chaos of the web made elegant.
Speed round, Paul or John?
Early Paul, late John.
Mario or Sonic?
Early Sonic, late Mario.
Needs of the society or needs of the individual?
Should be the same.
You're most scared of?
Unfulfilled potential.
I am a believer in the perfectibility of human beings. We are our best selves. The possibilities are endless. At the circle, there isn't a problem that we cannot solve. We can cure any disease, and we can end hunger. Without secrets, without the hoarding of knowledge and information, we can finally realize our potential. Circlers, do you like to share? We'll see it all. If it happens, we'll know. Imagine the human rights implications. There needs to be accountability.
What is this?
The circle has the power to change everything.
It's only our lies that get us in trouble. Things we hide.
We care about everybody you care about. Because knowing is good. But knowing everything is better.
So that is The Circle, starring Emma Watson, John Boyega, and Tom Hanks.
Kinda.
A little bit.
And a kayak.
And the kayak gets way more screen time than Tom Hanks.
We haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, we have. Sure, we have.
Okay.
It is available on all the usual VOD services. So if you want to play along with our review, rent it this weekend, and the episode will come out on Tuesday. And you can listen along and suffer along with us as we review The Circle.
And if you want to do a little Pink Floyd, Wizard of Oz thing, sync it up with Rockwell's I Always Feel Like Somebody's Watching Me. Get you in the perfect paranoiac feel.
Oh, man. So let's talk a little bit about the film that we reviewed last. That would be David Seltzer's Shining Through, starring Melanie Griffith and Michael Douglas.
Let's review our review.
Yeah, let's review it a little bit. I mean, you know, looking back, is there anything that you feel you want to add? Is there anything you missed? Is there anything?
No, it's dumb.
That's really bad.
It's so dumb.
Really bad.
I'm obsessed with 50 Shades of Grey, so much so that I'm bringing up when we're talking about Shining Through.
Right.
But I'm more obsessed with why that's popular. Huh. Like, it's like Trump's America.
Yeah.
How did that happen? Uh-huh. Why did this thing become a thing? Shining Through, I understand how it got ignored. I don't know why anybody didn't look at it and go, you know what? This makes no sense.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think the only thing I'll add is that the war movies that are referenced in here, but because we have Melanie Griffith's character, remember, is like a war movie buff.
Yes.
Those war movies are melodramatic, you know, just as melodramatic as this one, but they're so much better. They're a lot tighter. This movie is so slack and so boring and so stupid. Those classic movies like The Mortal Storm shouldn't be impugned by the awfulness of this movie. So quirky. We usually do a question of the week
yeah. in
these little mini episodes. However, in answering some of our other questions of the week in previous episodes, we have been known to occasionally make a couple of mistakes.
We fib.
We get a little loose.
Yes.
The show gets a little loose, especially once we get towards the end. We've had a few beers.
We talk for 90 minutes straight.
I just talk right out of my ass. I will be honest. Yeah. I don't know. I have not seen these films.
My name's not Quirky.
No, right? Yes. Like, where am I? But we wanted to take a little time just so you know that we are responsible podcast hosts. We're not just going to throw out lies and not acknowledge them, that we're going to do some corrections from previous week's episodes. Okay?
Sure.
So, correction number one, this was a couple of weeks ago in the mini episode. We started talking about Adventures in Babysitting, and I let loose with a just spew of errors that was just Exorcist-like, was just amazing. Chris Columbus, director of Adventures in Babysitting.
Discoverer of America.
Not a John Hughes protege. John Hughes had absolutely nothing to do with Adventures in Babysitting, except I guess as just person they ripped off.
Right.
Chris Columbus was actually a Spielberg protege. He wrote the scripts for Gremlins. He wrote the script for... what else did he write the script for?
Goonies.
Yeah, Goonies and one other one in there somewhere. The other one, in talking about that, there was a mention about did he direct whether or not Chris Columbus directed. Sorry.
Dutch?
In the middle of that, there was a conversation about whether or not Chris Columbus directed Dutch. Film Dutch.
I can't go a conversation without that being brought up.
You can't.
It just...
drop it already.
When it came up in the presidential debates 2017, that really... 2016. Goddamn.
Whatever. I said that I believe it was Howard Zeif who directed Dutch. Howard Zeif who directed Dutch. That was because I actually just a couple of days earlier watched Private Benjamin. Which was directed by Howard Zeif, who also did The Dream Team, My Girl, My Girl 2. I was thinking of Howard Deutsch,
yeah.
who directed the John Hughes scripts for Pretty in Pink and Some Kind of Wonderful. Peter Fayman was the actual director of Dutch. Peter Fayman, who brought us the original Crocodile Dundee, followed it up with Dutch and then was like, I'm good. Kind of nailed it.
Legacy established.
Another one a couple of weeks ago when we were reading my beautiful wife Darcy's Dare for the two Overboard films, I could not remember the name of the other person who stars with Anna Faris in there, who is also in How to Be a Latin Lover. His name, of course, is Eugenio Derbez. He was the Latin Lover.
So okay.
There's another correction. In our 50 Shades of Everything episodes, our 50 Shades trilogy episode.
I mean, we were 50 Shades to the Wind.
50 right? Shades to the Wind. We absolutely were. You repeatedly said that Christian Grey was raw dogging.
And I meant it.
It's maybe too fine a line.
And I meant that.
But in the first film, at least, it is very conspicuous that he is biting off the wrapper of a condom.
Doesn't mean he used it.
It's suggested that he did. I think even more strongly suggested than Rebecca Ferguson being dead in the snow. Yeah.
I think it was just him establishing more control over her.
Good.
I'm going to bite this open.
Let's give the movie credit for
okay.
for promoting safe sex.
You got it. Okay.
So Christian Grey did use a condom at least a couple of times. I mean, yeah. not all the time. But
he safe dogged it.
Once or twice. One thing we've mentioned several times on the show is the quote from Silence of the Lambs, which we have consistently gotten wrong, which we keep saying, oh, wait. Is she a big fat girl?
Is she a great big fat girl?
She a great fat girl. Not the line.
That's not what he says?
Not the line. He says, oh, wait. Is she a great big fat person?
Fat person.
Yeah.
Apologies to serial killer Buffalo Bill.
Right. I mean, he's the one who's really hurt here.
Yeah.
The film Cadence, which you mentioned in a previous episode as in one of your favorite underrated war movies. And
right.
we were at first, I was a little question like, is it a war movie? It is a war movie. But you said it was a Korean war movie. It is actually a Vietnam war movie set at a military prison in Germany.
They never exactly establish when in the 60s it is. But
right.
they do say Creedence Clearwater Revival in the movie. So that... anytime Creedence Clearwater was mentioned in the 60s, the Vietnam War was
happening. The war was happening.
Yes.
Absolutely, yeah. And at any time that you played Fortunate Son, something got bombed.
Yes.
It was even you're just like playing it around the house. And another one that I will say that I got right. Another one I got right. Okay. Quicksilver is set in San Francisco.
Nice, yes.
Nice.
Home of the Financial District, yes.
The Financial District. So that is it. That is all the corrections I have. Although if you have any more corrections, any mistakes that we made, please send them to us. Go to Dare Daniel Pod, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Hit us up on Twitter, Corky Knievel, Barnes on Film.
Yeah.
And let us know
what happens.
You're the
internet. You're supposed to point out when people get things even slightly wrong.
Exactly. And all I can say is that we are sorry and it will never happen again.
Nope.
So before we get into the listener dares, Corky, you did a little bit of heroic extra credit this week.
Thank you for acknowledging
absolutely
the heroism.
If you remember,
because if you didn't, I was going to call it out.
Yeah, no, right? Yeah, call it out. Man.
Sure, I'm wearing a cape.
Beat your own chest. You did the dirty work here, man. If you remember, maybe a month or two ago, I can't remember what episode this was on. You said that Marlon Wayans was one of the most underrated comics of all time. What did you say?
I said
you're a fan.
Okay, I said Marlon Wayans is one of the most talented Wayans family members. Fact number one. Fact number two, he gave one of the most underrated comedic performances of the 90s in Senseless.
Sure.
And fact number three, that Marlon Wayans was amazing in dramas such as Lady Killers and
Requiem for a Dream.
Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah. The point is, you defended Marlon Wayans. I crushed Marlon Wayans.
Vociferously defended.
I was like, I hate Marlon Wayans. So this was the context, was a performance you love from an actor you hate. And Marlon Wayans was my pick for his work in Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah.
And then, as it happens, we reviewed the 50 Shades trilogy. And wouldn't you know it, Marlon Wayans has made a 50 Shades parody movie called 50 Shades of Black. This movie actually, because 50 Shades of Grey came out February 2015... 2 and 3 came out February 2017 and 2018. This movie came out February 2016. It was like the substitute. We're not getting a 50 Shades movie this year, so let's do the Marlon Wayans thing. Corky, you heroically got up early this morning, watched 50 yes. Shades of Black, so you could put it in context of this entire franchise. Talk a little bit about the movie. Did it live up to the hype?
Well, okay. Nothing could ever live up to my Marlon Wayans hype because the man is on a pedestal, right?
You once said that he was the second most talented Wayans of all time. Which is like,
in the pantheon of Wayans family members.
He's my third most favorite murder-suicide.
True. I should say, my girlfriend, when she found out I was up already watching this movie, said, oh, let's get up and I'll watch a movie with you. Then gave me shit for the second half of the movie. Why am I watching this on a Sunday morning? Why is this?
Talk a little bit about the movie. How does it? Is it a parody of 50 Shades?
Okay, first off, it shocks me, utterly shocks me that Marlon Wayans is starring in a parody movie of a popular film franchise.
Yeah, right. That's out now.
Yeah. So, it is a parody movie. It parodies a lot of the stuff that – it honestly, to give the film credit, it parodies a lot of stuff that we call out on the movie.
Right, right.
The ridiculousness of Anastasia, of the whole relationship.
Yeah.
But it does it with that trademark Marlon Wayans – it does it with his trademark Marlon Wayansness.
Give me one example of it.
Well, pick any one thing that we pointed out as being ridiculous in the movie. The movie works best when it calls that stuff out.
Right, right.
Their relationship, her wishy-washiness.
Is it essentially a trace of the first 50 Shades of Grey?
Yeah, it's only the first one.
Yeah, 2 and 3 hadn't been made. So it's essentially just that movie, but the joke is that they're black and not white.
That hits. Like, her roommate is a white girl that acts black, right? Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, that's a running gag.
Laughing already.
The one, like, major, like, I was like, yes, is when he first introduces her to the playroom. And she goes, wait, so what do I get out of this? And he's like, well, you get me. And she's like, hold on, you want to do all this stuff and runs through all what?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's like, and I just get you? And then, like, laughs for 30 seconds. And I'm like, yes, this movie, if it was just kind of like that,
right?
Beautiful. But, I mean, it also being one of those parody movies, it parodies Magic Mike, you know, sure. It parodies Whiplash.
Nice.
There's a Whiplash scene. Nice. And I really wonder, like, Marlon Wayans, like I said, he's 45. How many people watching this movie are going to get the references like that? The fact that Miss Robinson in this movie is played by Florence Henderson, who is that funny to?
Yeah.
Like, who under 40 is going to get that.
Yeah.
Right?
But even if you're over 40, it's just a cheap sight gag. Yeah, right?
But
it's a celebrity cameo.
And it's been done since the 90s, like Shakes the Clown.
Even by Florence Henderson.
Right. This was her last movie appearance, too, by the way.
Oh, good for her.
Yes, right.
Way to go out on top.
So, terrible?
Terrible?
Yes.
More terrible than the actual, we'll leave Fifty Shades Freed and Darker out, but which would you, if I said, you got to go home right now.
Yeah.
You got to pop one of these suckers in, you got to watch it all the way. Which one are you watching?
I believe the sex scenes in 50 Shades Black more than I believe the sex in 50 Shades of Grey.
Nice. Yeah. Well, that tells you all you need to know right there. All right, let's read a couple of our listeners' movie dares. And thank you, everybody, who's been submitting these dares. If you go to daredaniel.com, click the Submit a Dare button.
Absolutely.
Also, hit us up, Dare Daniel Pod, Facebook, and Twitter. You can go and submit a dare there as well. Yeah.
Keep them coming. Remember, and you don't have to just torture us. You can send us things that you think are actually underrated.
Yeah, if there's one of those movies that everyone makes fun of you for liking, but you really love it, come send us that one.
Be like, hey, these two guys talked about it.
Yeah, we will review it in excruciating detail. We will go right through it, and we will give it a chance.
We'll be your wingmen.
So our first dare comes to us from David Reed.
What up, David?
David Reed. What does David dare us to watch? He wants us to watch a film called America Has Fallen, a.k.a. Rising Fear.
Oh, I already like the title.
Already good.
Yeah.
Released in 2016, it was directed and written by Tom Getty. It also co-stars Tom Getty and Chuck Getty. Getty family went deep on this one. It stars Curtis Caldwell as Agent Ron Carter from Mars. David, why did you dare us to watch this movie that no one has ever heard of? This is a very long one, so I'm just going to go right into it. David says, okay, my wife sucks at remembering the names of movies and actors and picking movies.
Right away, he just throws his wife right under the bus.
But I like the backstory.
There's a big backstory here. So his wife sucks at remembering the names of movies and actors. She was at the store at Redbox and saw America Has Fallen, which she assumed was another one in the Olympus Has Fallen and London Has Fallen franchise. Without noticing it had none of the same actors, which she wouldn't have remembered anyway, or that it had no rating, meaning it went straight to video. The movie was also called Rising Fear, but they renamed it to try to trick people, like my wife, into renting it. He just keeps bringing it back. My wife, oh boy. And it worked, but oh God, it's so awful. I think we made it 20 minutes before deciding we couldn't do it, and that my wife is never, ever allowed to pick a movie without supervision. You got to get that in a contract, Christian Grey style, hey, David
Christian
Reed.
Christian Grey style, that stuff.
You two could just hit the Redbox touchscreen at random and get many episodes. Redbox is replacing the Walmart bargain bin. My Aunt Joanne does that exact same thing when we'll be talking about movies and she'll totally mangle the name. It'll be like, you got to wait a few seconds to do the word jumble. She'll be like, oh, have you seen that movie Space Guards? You're like, Guardians of the Galaxy? Oh, yeah. No, I saw it. IMDb synopsis. Rising Fear is a movie starring Curtis Caldwell, Chuck Getty, and Tom Getty. Who the hell wrote this synopsis? Mom, they got a list of names of the credits below. You don't put it there. When terrorists take our nation hostage, a rogue marine sets out to stop them. So that is America Has Fallen, a.k.a. Rising Fear. Thank you, David Reed.
Thank you, David, and the...
And thank you, David's wife.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You're the hero behind
the unfortunate put upon Mrs. Reed.
Our next dare is another one from my good friend, Mr. David Paul.
What up, David Paul?
Hey! His dare, Oliver Stone's Alexander.
Ooh.
From 2004, starring Colin Farrell, Val Kilmer, Angelina Jolie, Rosario Dawson, Anthony Hopkins, Jared Leto, my favorite. Why did David Paul dare us to watch this movie? He says, I apologize beforehand for this dare, but your pain is the audience's gain. It's actually worse than you remember. Rosario's rack just doesn't carry it like it used to.
Jesus.
And I think rack, I believe, is an acting term meaning your sort of array of skills.
Sure, yeah, right.
So like Dennis Franz would say, you know, my rack, I can play a cop.
Yeah.
I can play a gangster.
It's that headshot thing with the four different poses that they have of you in different characters.
Absolutely.
That's your rack.
That's your rack. Right. Yeah, no, totally. And Rosario has a nice rack.
Yeah, yeah.
She's got a nice rack, but it just doesn't carry this movie like it used to. IMDb synopsis, Alexander, the king of Macedonia, and one of the greatest army leaders in
Some would say Macedonia.
Macedonia. Is it Macedonia?
Historians agree that it's Macedonia.
Hmm.
Okay, the Dan Carlin Hardcore History Podcast says it's Macedonia.
Alexander, the king of Macedonia, and one of the greatest army leaders in the history of warfare, conquers much of the known world. Have you seen Alexander?
No.
I saw it in theaters, and I absolutely hated it. The film has its defenders. What the fuck is underrated anymore in the internet?
Right, yeah.
What's interesting, Oliver Stone has created four different cuts of this movie. It came out in 2004. There is a 175-minute theatrical version. That's right. The version that I saw. In 2005, there was a 167-minute director's cut. That trimmed 25 minutes and added previously unused scenes. 2007, we got a final cut. That replaced those deleted 25 minutes and added another 40 minutes. Finally, in 2014, we got the ultimate cut. 207 minutes that essentially takes the 214 final cut and tightens it up, I guess.
You just got to break up with that movie, Oliver Stone.
Right, just let it go. I mean, I've never seen any of these other versions. Supposedly, it makes the movie better, but it was an absolute torture to watch. I mean, it's such a terribly cast movie. Colin Farrell as like the Irish King Alexander the Great.
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie vamping and Val Kilmer vamping and Anthony Hopkins overacting. It was truly atrocious. I don't know. I mean, this is one thing where we give the restored cut a chance or something like that.
The 207 minute
version.
Wow.
On Tuesday, remember, come back for our full review of The Circle and find out what that evil internet has been up to.
And listen to see what Marlon Wayans spoof movie I've watched next. Is it dance movie? Is it movie?
Till then, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Dare Daniel Pod. Read my reviews in the News and Review and the Sacramento Bee. Check out Corky at the Comedy Spot. Anything else you want to add, Corky?
Just come down to Sac City Brews, neighborhood tap house, for a nice brunch and some of the best local brews on tap.
Fantastic brews, delicious brunch. So thanks again to Sac City Brews for hosting us. And we will see you on Tuesday for The Circle.
I love you, Marlon Wayans.